Tom Karkel in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast for today, going to be windy with snow showers developing this afternoon. We'll have a high of about 38 degrees. In Kenosha right now, it is 34, 32 in Burlington, 34 in Milwaukee, 35 in Racine. A winter weather and wind advisory for today around southeast Wisconsin. Gusty winds are coming back, not quite as bad as last week. And with snow expected to fall this afternoon into this evening, though it may not be as much as some other parts of Wisconsin or even down in Illinois and into Michigan. But winds 35 to 40 miles per hour are a possibility, according to the National Weather Service. Temperatures in the mid of the upper 30s. It's getting down to the recommendation time for the Racine County Task Force on the Future of the Ridgewood Care Center, which has yet another meeting tonight at the Isgrove Office Complex. County Executive Jonathan Delagrave tells WRJN News the group has looked at a number of different areas to try to figure out what is best for the facility, which gets high marks from the state.
Looked at a lot of data, looked at a lot of what-ifs, looked at, you know, what if we did this at Ridgewood. So I would say that they're starting to formulate some ideas based on the data in terms of if we have to put a lot of money into Ridgewood for county tax dollars purposes, where are we going to draw from to do that?
Delagrave says this is about being proactive versus reactive with today's financial realities, whether the county continues to operate the facility or it's sold to a private company. The task force could come up with a recommendation at tonight's meeting, though Delagrave says the current schedule is not set in stone. A meeting with other county officials, including supervisors, currently set for next Monday night. 10 years in prison, the sentence for an 18-year-old Racine man referenced a January 2015 shooting at the Green Reed Owens Transit Center on State Street. Lamont Coker receiving 10 years of extended supervision once he's out of prison from Racine County Judge John Jude. Coker pled guilty back in December to attempted first-degree intentional homicide, could have received up to 40 years in prison. Court records show Coker and another teen going to the transit center to confront the victim who was shot in the chest. 16-year-old Nasir Mays is still scheduled for trial in April. Racine police now say that a shots fired call from Monday night, it turned into an attempted homicide investigation from the 1800 block of Franklin Street, where a home had been hit by multiple bullets. Nobody inside got hurt, but Lieutenant Al Day says that a 19-year-old man later showed up at the emergency room of Wheaton Franciscan All Saints. It was a non-life-threatening gunshot wound. The victim stabilized, then taken up to Frederick Hospital, his condition unknown at this point. Police did a neighborhood canvass for evidence and witnesses, but they're also now asking anybody who might have some additional information to contact their investigative unit or Crime Stoppers of Racine County. Amazon is pulling hoverboards from its website after the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission said the devices are unsafe and pose an unreasonable risk of fire, even though accessories are still going to be available. Target and Toys R Us also pulling the hoverboards from their websites for the same reasons. Scientists hired by the auto industry believe they have now figured out what causes some of those Takata airbags to explode.
A Virginia rocket science company that was brought in to help solve the problem over the past year reports a combination of factors, including moisture and high humidity, can cause the explosions. Using the type of ammonium nitrate that's in the airbag inflators, but without a moisture-absorbing substance, increases the risk of explosion after long-term exposure to heat and moisture. The company also finds that Takata's inflator assembly doesn't adequately prevent moisture from seeping in very humid conditions. Airbags made by the Japanese company have caused at least 10 deaths and 139 injuries worldwide. Michael Toscano, Washington.
Wisconsin's one of 8 states in which macadamia nuts possibly contaminated with salmonella have been sold and which are now being recalled. Iowa-based Hy-Vee Incorporated, which produces the 2-ounce bag of macadamia nuts, voluntarily recalling the product, which comes in a blue-colored plastic bag. The nuts in question sold between July 2nd of last year and this February 3rd at retailers including Target, plus independent grocery stores that carry Western Family brands. To date, no illnesses have been reported in connection with this product. And in Eau Claire, city leaders have taken a step back from the rules that license and regulate escorts, which technically keeps prostitution illegal in that city. A community proposal, that is, would have required a strict series of rules for escorts. Councilwoman Catherine Emanuel is sponsoring the changes, says the city, though, wants a more holistic approach to what she says is a problem. Language in the Kenosha Unified School District's employee handbook calling for a $3,000 penalty for breaking a contract with the district, still a point of contention for some members of the school board. Last night, they went over several proposed changes to the handbook based on questions that were posed at a recent meeting. Board member Mike Falkowski thinks the penalty is a little too high. The district, he said, ought to be giving teachers a reason to stay rather than penalizing them for leaving.
I think if we just focus on, think more about, you know, why they'd want to stay here and less about, and not focus so much, I think, you know, trying to punish them for leaving. I just think this is really high.
Information to the board indicating that $3,000 penalty is about the same or actually slightly higher than what other comparable districts are charging. Kenosha Unified going to do three focus groups over the next month, trying to get input from employees on the handbook before a final vote of the board is expected in April. The recently announced Gateway Promise program to help students with the cost of higher education, well, that continues to be applauded by officials in the community. Racine County Board Supervisor Bob Miller is among the latest.
It is to open the doors even further to people who want to improve themselves by making sure finances will not be a barrier to them going to Gateway. And since we have among our members Vice Chairman Zena Richards on the Gateway Board, I just wanted to commend her for working to open the doors of education further. It sounds like an excellent program.
Almost a third of the Gateway Promise program's donated endowment funding thus far is from the S.E. Johnson family and the company's top executive, Fisk Johnson, personally. Since February the 18th, Kenosha residents have had a chance to offer their comments about what to do on about Kennedy Drive with an online survey, and that's going to be coming to an end this Friday. Future development options for the city's popular lakefront roadway between 38th and 44th Streets have resulted in quite a bit of discussion within the community and with city officials. A hired consulting firm did present options, which are part of the online survey. Go to surveymonkey.com/r/Kennedy Drive. Madison Parking and Transit Commission officials are considering an increase in the parking rates for the first time in 4 years, which, if approved, would begin in June. The biggest difference would be on downtown streets, where the hourly rate would go up to $2. Rates would increase to $1.80 an hour at the Government East Garage to $1.10 at the Overture Center Garage. It would also cost $7 more per year for a residential parking permit. The extra money, according to officials, to be used to replace aging parking garages and some of the on-street meters. And Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice candidate Ann Walsh Bradley is urging Governor Scott Walker to allow the use of veterans' ID cards to vote after her uncle, who fought at Iwo Jima, could not cast a ballot in last week's primary election. In her message to the governor, Justice Bradley wrote, "It makes no sense to me that this proud patriot with a veterans card displaying his photo would be turned away from the polls and denied the right to vote." The legislature, of course, approved the legal IDs allowed for voting, and the governor signed the bill. WRJN.com is our webpage, our newscaster there. Whenever you want, just look in the local news section. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karkle, AM 1400 WRJN News. Well,